You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Hacktivists turn to defacement. They say they're performing a public service. Recorded Future takes a close look at ransomware's likely course in 2017. ISIS exposes itself online. Attribution controversies, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And would you hug Skynet if it looked like Teddy Ruxpin? I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. In separate incidents, HackRead is reporting that hacktivists hit both Philippine military sites and the Google Brazil domain. In both cases, their declared intention was to warn people about the need for better security. In the Philippines, someone with the handle Shinobi Hacksor told the army it was pwned by me and warned, "Fix your security or I will be back." In the Brazilian case, one Korosh gave both a shout-out to his friend Shinobi and a sneer in the direction of rival NoFox as he kept a defaced page up on Google Brazil for about half an hour. Korosh told HackRead that Google Brazil was defaced to show the world everything can be hacked and we should not underestimate our security risks. So, okay. Although one thinks the point might be better made without inconveniencing users and subjecting them to a picture of two anime teens in all their large-eyed glory. One might, for example, consult some recent reports on threat trends. Recorded Future published an interesting one a few hours ago dealing with ransomware and what we should expect from it in 2017. Their conclusions stand in contrast to predictions McAfee Labs made in November to the effect that ransomware had peaked and might be expected to decline in 2017, which on the face of it isn't an irrational prediction given falling criminal profits and more widespread understanding of how to prevent and recover from ransomware attacks. But Recorded Future's report suggests that ransomware will continue to grow in the current year. They offer several predictions that are worth reviewing. First, ransomware will become just another tool in the hacker utility belt. It will be useful for distracting defenders from more serious attacks, as we've seen DDoS used, so large criminal organizations will use it for both profit and misdirection. A Carbonite study of ransomware reaches a similar conclusion about this sort of attack's utility as a smokescreen and distraction. Second, we'll see more attacks designed to publicly shame the victims. The public shame is designed to force quick payment of ransom. Third, we can expect ransomware to become stealthier. More examples of ransomware using no executable as a means of evading detection. Fourth, ransomware spam campaigns will target the security of webmail providers. Webmail is complex and offers an attractive attack surface. Ransomware can be expected to follow the same path here as other spam attacks. Fifth, a contrarian prediction, there will not be any ransomware IoT campaigns. It's too easy, the researchers think, to wipe or replace IoT devices, and so there's less incentive to pay. Related to the last is the sixth prediction. Similarly, there will not be a Mirai-style botnet installing ransomware. Finally, if there is a decline in ransomware, it will be because of law enforcement action. So support your local police, and if you're in the U.S., get to know your regional FBI office. The Daily Beast has an account of how Islamist exploitation of social media and other online platforms for information operations has proven a proverbial double-edged sword. It's been undeniably successful for recruiting and inspiration, but it's also been risky for the caliphate's information operators. Many leaders have been targeted when their phone chatter exposed their location, and ISIS dependence on the internet for its own version of command and control has enabled the civilized world to collect a great deal of actionable intelligence about the terrorist group. Unfortunately, effective inspiration needs only a few receptive minds, or what FBI Director Comey characterized as a few screwed-up individuals, to inflict the suffering and sorrow recently visited on Berlin, Baghdad, and Istanbul. The first week of 2017 continues to see skeptical takes on various attributions. The conclusions being called into question range from the debunked, like the hacking of the Vermont power grid, through the newly controversial, like the Russian malware-enabled counterfire against Ukrainian guns, to the generally accepted, like Russian intrusion into U.S. political party networks. Krebs on Security has a particularly good roundup of the grid hack that wasn't, with a reflective account of how the story gained currency. Tie Global's Jeffrey Carr calls bunkum on CrowdStrike's Danger Close report on Android ex-agent targeting of artillery positions. He promises more details at the upcoming Suits and Spooks conference. In the meantime, Security Week says that CrowdStrike stands by its report. It's an interesting and complex case. We hope to learn more about it in the near future. And many observers continue to express disappointment over the level of detailed evidence contained in the FBI-NCCIC joint analysis report on Fancy Bear's election hacking. Many of those same observers also note the difficulty of making such a case without disclosing more about sources and methods than the intelligence community would find it prudent to reveal. One overarching lesson to be drawn, perhaps, from these various attribution controversies is that it's rare that any threat actor is in sole possession of the attack code they use. The Neutrino exploit kit, for example, may well have figured in Fancy Bear's bag of tools, but it's in a whole lot of other bags of tools as well. And finally, there's a fresh horror out there in the Internet of Things. Sean Gallagher writes in Ars Technica about a proof of concept for a grim connected toy he developed. As he put it, quote, "I had an idea to connect a speech-driven AI and the Internet of Things to an animatronic bear, all the better to stare into the lifeless, occasionally blinking eyes of the singularity itself with," end quote. So he took a 1999 edition of the Teddy Ruxpin animatronic bear, equipped it with a Raspberry Pi, and slaved the unholy monster to Amazon Alexa, with predictably disturbing results. As one commenter on the Ars site put it, quote, "A huggable Skynet on every kid's pillow. Aw, that's so sweet," end quote. But that's not the freshest hell, friends. It was left to Gallagher's competitor, Brian Kane of the Rhode Island School of Design, to penetrate the real heart of darkness. Kane connected Alexa to Billy the Talking Big Mouth Bass, a man cave artifact whose morbid tackiness rises almost to grandeur. The horror. The horror.
Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Joining me once again is Malek Ben-Salem. She's the R&D manager with security at Accenture Labs. Malek, you wanted to talk today about deep learning for cybersecurity.
Yeah, so there has been a lot of talk about deep learning and its use for cybersecurity lately and whether it's a suitable approach for the cybersecurity domain. Well, as you know, deep learning is an area of artificial intelligence which deals with vast quantities of data. It's not new. Some people say deep learning is just a buzzword or a rebranding of neural networks. And that's to an extent true. But while neural networks have been out there for a long time, they have been used in a very limited way. They've been used with only one layer, one internal layer of neurons. What we're able to do today with the new developments in technology, with the abundance of data and multiple GPUs available, we're able to revisit that and implement neural networks with several input layers, and that's what constitutes deep learning. And the approach, meaning deep learning, has been successfully applied in various domains, such as computer vision and voice recognition. So it has some potential in cybersecurity.
My understanding of deep learning is that the systems themselves, rather than telling the systems what to do, you rely on the system to kind of figure out what to do on its own, and so that can lead to novel approaches to problems.
Exactly. So one of the promises of deep learning is that it replaces the manual selection of features with efficient algorithms for unsupervised learning, so that you don't have to tell the algorithm what are the right features to model, but it should be able to learn on its own what are the right features. It can extract them autonomously. And also the other difference that deep learning brings is a way of a hierarchical feature extraction, which is not the case for the existing machine learning algorithms.
And dig into that for me a little bit. What do you mean by hierarchical feature extraction?
So, for example, let's think about computer vision. The way people recognize the contents or understand what's in a picture is complex, right? We first recognize an overall shape, the shape of the main object within the picture, and then we may then recognize certain details within that picture to be able to tell exactly what that picture entails. That's what deep learning does, is it mimics that same way of recognition. So it may recognize the main object, and then it may recognize the edges of that object, then it may recognize later on certain specific features within the object. So it's very similar to the way the human mind works as well.
So how do we apply deep learning to cybersecurity?
So it has been actually applied already in certain problems for cybersecurity. It has been implemented by Symantec, for example. Another smaller startup cybersecurity company by the name of Deep Instinct is also implementing deep learning to recognize malicious files. It's being currently tested for network intrusion detection and detection of DDoS attacks. But results at this point, are promising, but are similar to existing machine learning algorithms. The point is with deep learning is that it requires a lot of data. So wherever we have a lot of data, that's where it shines. And another promising application for it could be with spam filtering and spear phishing. So I expect that it will be applied successfully to solve that problem as well.
Malek Ben Salem, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.